We got your fingerprints at the scene. We know you did it. Confess, you little jerk. You're going to go to prison, and then you're going to go to hell.
I'm the sports board's bad cop. And I will be grilling you, Ashley, today on this episode of Sports Boards.
Oh, my God. Yes. No one knows that it took 3 solid minutes of different faces and sheer focus from Ben to get that voice out. It was amazing.
That was a very focused performance.
Very focused. Did. It was beautiful.
I had to write my lines in my head, rehearse them in my head while you looked at me.
Yeah, I was staring at you and your mouth was moving and I was like, well, no sound's coming out.
Yeah, that's my method. That's my acting method, is I just kind of mumble to myself while you watch me.
Right,
and then I kind of scream, not looking at you.
No,
I wasn't
not
looking
at
you
he
while I was
not looking at me
that.
At all. No.
Because I couldn't, it would be very difficult to yell at you even while I was acting.
Thank you.
Despite being a trained actor myself.
That's true. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, Ashley, we have a special episode today.
This is a special ep.
Hopefully it'll become a more routine episode, but it's the first time we're doing this where it's just the two of us. We don't have a guest today.
No. So it's us talking about things.
That's right. And before we get started on that, we have poured ourselves drinks.
Yes.
It's the end of the day.
It's the end of the day, thank God.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I'm drinking a Pilsner beer out of a can. The Pivo Pilsner is what it's called.
Whoa, nice.
And Ashley, what
by
are you?
Firestone.
By Firestone.
It's a Firestone beer.
Yes. The Firestone Pivo Pilsner.
Correct.
And you know me, Ashley, and I don't know how many people are listening out there who know
you're
this
a pill
about
boy.
Me. I'm a pill boy. I love pills. And that is short for Pilsner, of course.
Yes, of course.
Because I like the light, crisp taste. And I like how I can drink two of them and not feel like I just ate a loaf of soggy bread.
That's true, because that's essentially what a beer is.
Yeah, a loaf of soggy bread.
Right.
Shoved into a can.
Correct.
Or bottle.
Or bottle.
Or glass, if you're feeling fancy.
Oh, I often feel fancy. You know what's funny? Our good friend Alex, her dad would always say that drinking a beer is like a sandwich in a glass. And once she told me that, I've never stopped thinking about that. Every time I have a beer, I'm like, oh, here's my sandwich, you know?
Oh.
I'll never stop thinking about that.
I was about to say, delicious. But no. Also, it's not always great to have like a sandwich when you're out having fun with friends.
Yeah, you don't really want to eat like
five
sandwiches.
Yeah, that's a bad night. You're going to have a bad night if you force 5 sandwiches down your throat.
It's true.
Well, anyway, shout out to all the Pills boys out there.
The pill heads.
Yeah. Ashley, what are you drinking?
Oh, yes. I am drinking some leftover rosé from our wedding.
Ooh, yeah. Boxed wine.
Yeah, trying to get through this stuff, man. It is
Folks, if you can imagine, Sports Board's headquarters is just lined with boxed wine. It's literally scaling the walls at this point.
If you're a friend in the LA area and you want a box of wine, reach out.
Reach out. Tweet at us, at Sports Boards.
Yes.
Tweet, hashtag, I want that box of wine.
Yes. It's free, baby.
It's free if you come and get it yourself.
Yes.
Or you can email us. This is another plug for emails.
Perfect.
If you have any questions, comments, or low-res pics, please email us, sportsports@gmail.com.
Yes.
So, Ashley, today what we're doing is a little different. No guests. Like we said, it's just the two of us.
Yeah.
A married couple in their wedded home talking about sports.
Yes. Sports boards headquarters.
Sports boards headquarters. Yeah, sorry.
Which is very sterile NASA-like environment.
Yeah, which is not where we live, but it's exactly the same as our apartment.
Yes.
It's kind of across the street.
Just underground.
An underground.
Yes.
And it's modeled exactly after our apartment, which is a sterile.
Because that's where we feel safe.
Yeah, it's where we feel safe, where we feel comfortable to talk
right.
about sports.
Yes.
So what we're doing today is called Sports Ideas.
La la.
And this is how it's set up. I just kind of made this up, and I haven't even really explained it to Ashley.
I'm very
so
excited.
This is what's going to happen. I have written down 5 sports ideas I have.
Okay.
And if you know me and Ashley at all, sometimes when we're watching sports late at night or early in the morning, if it's overseas, you know, you're watching it and you're just kind of thinking in your brain, yeah, wouldn't it be cool if this happened? Or, you know, wouldn't it be better? Wouldn't this sport be better if they did it this way?
Right.
And this is an outlet for those thoughts and those ideas.
We need it.
And this week I have formulated the ideas, and maybe in the future Ashley will formulate ideas and respond, and I'll respond to them. But today it's me, Ben Wheatmartian. I've formed five ideas.
Five.
And I'll get Ashley's reaction to them.
I've not read one.
She, and you pledge that, right?
I pledge.
You pledge right now.
I pledge to the Borts.
That you pledge to Borts?
Yes.
On high and down low?
Yes.
And in the zone?
Oh, always in the zone.
That you have not seen any of these ideas?
Yes.
So what Ashley will do is respond to them. We'll talk about them. She'll give them a thumbs up, thumbs down, or she'll call an audible.
Ooh.
And she'll say, hey, I like this idea, but I want to change it a little bit.
Ooh, okay.
Cool. Does that sound good, Ashley?
That sounds good to me.
I hope that sounds good to everyone else. So let's just launch right into it.
Okay.
Sports is art. Sports idea. This is, let's rename it.
Yeah, okay.
This is sports ideas. Number one. Yep, that's right. So, Ashley, recently the World Series ended.
Yes, thank God. Oh.
Yeah, and we watched a couple of the games together, and you...
We were both wrong in our predictions, by the way.
We were both wrong, yeah. I said seven because I hoped it would go to seven.
Right.
And it did not. Didn't even come close.
I said six because I was like, you know, if I say six, it might go five.
So, yeah, we were both kind of doing wishful thinking on both our parts. But it ended up the Dodgers losing to the Red Sox in five games. Woo. Red Sox won 4, Dodgers won 1. So during that series, Ashley, you hate the Dodgers.
Yes.
You're a big Giants fan. The Dodgers are your arch rival. You hate the Dodgers. So my idea is that rooting...
Dodgers die.
Dodgers die. Duh, you wouldn't want the Dodgers to die. Then you wouldn't want your enemy to be gone. Then you don't have an enemy no more.
That's exactly what I was going to say if you said that.
But I ain't. So anyway, my idea here is rooting against your most hated team in sports when your favorite team has nothing to do with it, which is the situation you were in,
right,
is 35% as fun as rooting for your favorite team.
Ooh.
So it's a very specific percentage. So if the Giants say were in the World Series, that's 100% fun.
Yes,
100% fun.
That's 100% fun.
But what is the difference between rooting for your favorite team and rooting against your least favorite team?
Gosh, well, it's difficult because if your favorite team is doing very poorly throughout the entire season, or, you know, whatever, they're just definitely going to lose. I got a sneeze coming on, and
just let it go.
It's going to come out. Maybe I can hold my breath. Okay. I don't know. We'll see. If it comes out, it comes out, and I apologize.
Yeah, we sneeze free.
Yes. Well, this is, I guess it is a sneeze free environment. But if your team is doing real shitty all year, and you kind of just like are, you know, just dragging along, but the team you hate the most is doing well, I think that percentage goes up in rooting against them because that's more fun.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, that's basically the situation I've presented. Yeah, like when your favorite team's in the World Series and your team's nowhere close.
Right. But if your team was good, you know, and they did okay. Like this year, the Giants kind of just like dropped off.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Dodgers made it to the World Series again. So I would say rooting against the Dodgers, I bumped that up a little bit. I'd say 43%.
Whoa, 43%. It's 43% is fun rooting against the Dodgers for you?
Yeah.
Okay. And obviously, this is going to change person to person.
Exactly.
But to me, I feel like it is always kind of a bummer when you're doing it. There's a bummer part of your brain that goes off. Like,
because
for instance,
they're still doing better.
Yeah, because they're there and you just feel kind of like a crummy person who's just like a spoil sport about things.
Oh, no, I never feel that
way. I know. Yeah.
Oh, revel in it.
Yeah, but it's just like if the Steelers get to the Super Bowl this season, which has happened before.
Yeah.
I hate the Steelers so much. They're just a terrible
franchise. Everyone that is a fan of theirs is trash too.
Trash.
If you're a Steelers fan, stop listening to this podcast. We think you're trash.
Yeah. But also,
I don't even
you
think
know,
that about Dodgers fans. If you're Dodgers fans, that's fine. But if you're Steelers fans, you are straight trash.
Absolutely,
don't
you're
to
straight
this.
Trash. Please rate and subscribe before you go.
Give me a one. I want yeah, a one from would, you because that will give me 43% happiness.
That'd be a lot of fun. Please rate a one if you are a Steelers fan or a Dodgers fan. And then also subscribe. Just, you know, it'd be great. And we'd appreciate it. But I do feel just kind of like a bummer, like a little bit of a sad sack when I'm watching that. Like, if I'm, oh, I want the Steelers to lose so bad, that'll make me happy. That's
really?
Feels, it feels like there's so, I mean, I still do it. Like I said, it's 35% is fun, so it is still fun. But yeah. I just think it's a little, I feel a little bad about myself while I'm doing it, is all. A little guilt creeps in.
I probably should, and maybe you're more of an adult than I am. But
that's
I have
definitely not true. I'm a little baby boy.
At Triona's Bar in New York, in Manhattan, with our friend Alex, who I mentioned earlier about her dad mentioning the sandwich in the glass, while you and her boyfriend at the time were in the fan cave watching a Cardinals, Dodgers, NLCS. My God, what a nightmare. But
yeah, that's kind of the worst of both worlds.
It's the worst. Watching the Cardinals win the NLCS while other Dodger fans were around, and I stood up on my chair, my bar stool, and I announced to them, feed me, because I wanted to eat their sadness. I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it so much. So when I watched the Dodgers lose a couple days ago, it filled me with joy.
Yeah,
I was filled with joy.
And that's, yeah, we take joy where we can get it in this world. It's not hurting anyone to root against.
That's why
the team.
I bump it up a little bit. I don't feel petty or anything like that. I don't feel like I'm pathetic. I'm like in it. Oh, I love it.
I think it's just
roll around.
Yeah, what it all comes down to for me is it's just like you're kind what I feel like is like while it's happening, I can't help but think, oh man, this would just be so much better if like I wasn't rooting against a team.
I was rooting for a team.
And also like I didn't like for instance the Red Sox, like I don't care about the Red Sox.
Exactly.
They're a great team, probably one of the greatest teams ever, but they were just like their payroll's out of control. They bought a bunch of people and
I do love
like,
Alex Cora. Like shout
Alex
out to Alex Cora.
Great. Yeah, there's a lot
of, shout out to both to Alex Cora and Dave Roberts. Great coaches.
Hey, great coaches. You know, I love a lot of the Red Sox too, but I just couldn't get excited about it because the Red Sox keep winning and it's just like, okay, it's not that exciting. And then I just feel like, why am I even watching this? I don't even really like these teams that much and the games other than the long one haven't been like super exciting anyway.
It's true. It was, I mean, as far as ratings go, I'm not exactly entirely sure, but that first game did pretty poorly.
Yeah, not that like... Yeah, it's also like, why are we surprised that the Red Sox and a Dodgers World Series aren't getting a lot of ratings? They're two boring teams that are constantly
well,
in the
us.
Same. Yeah, but they're in big media markets, but like that's really not what makes the best World Series. And you know that because the excitement and the buildup to it mean a lot more. Like the Cleveland Indians is one of the smallest markets in Major League Baseball, but their World Series got huge because it was the Cubs and the Indians, which are two teams that aren't there very often. And obviously the Cubs.
Yeah,
ate
I would
that
argue that it's mostly the Cubs.
But yeah, but still. Anyway, it's just like, I'm not surprised is all I'm saying. I'm not surprised that it was poor ratings because it was just a boring. It's been a kind of a boring season to me. The boring
it
baseball
was a
season.
Boring,
it was a boring
it
postseason.
It was a boring season. Yeah.
And
it should have been more exciting for the amount of teams that were the fun teams that were in there. But
well, there's
the two
yeah,
that neither of us really wanted and maybe a lot of baseball fans didn't want unless you're fans of the teams ended up making it. And it's like, OK, you know, whatever. It's an obvious choice. Red Sox were definitely always going to get
there.
Yeah,
because they're the best team and it wasn't even close. But yeah, it was just kind of a boring season. There was less like, I guess the Brewers were kind of exciting coming out. But
the Brewers were
like,
exciting, but that's your that's yeah.
But yeah, but even then, it was just like, I don't know, it never felt like they were an actual threat. None of the National League teams felt like a threat because
everyone was
going to
get steamrolled
so
by
good.
The American League.
Yeah, the American League.
No
was
matter
so
what,
good.
The American League had this one this year.
That's probably why it was. It was just like there were
and
four super
fans,
good
so.
American League teams and a lot
like
of really bad American League teams.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, that's all to say. So you're going with 43%.
I'm gonna go 43.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm still sticking with my 35%.
Okay.
That's sports idea one. I don't know. I think it's going all right so far.
I like this.
I guess we'll find out if anyone else likes to listen to this.
Talking.
Sure, talking's great. Okay, sports idea number two.
Mm-hmm.
Sports idea number two. So on a flight recently, I watched a short Viceland documentary on six-man football at a Montana high school.
Yes.
Here's my idea.
Oh.
I think the NFL should, and I think it will, slowly move toward six-man football. And obviously it'll be many years, decades from now. But I think six-man football is the future of football. Because
why?
It's faster. I have done zero research on this, so I don't know if this is actually true or not. But it seems like it avoids a lot of the safety concerns of 11-man football, which is a lot of lining up, big people lining
up. Forming walls.
And like two walls slamming against each other, right, and getting concussions and torn muscles and broken bones. And six-man football is like so fun and exciting. It's super athletic. There's, you know, obviously these are Montana kids, all
sure,
like farmer children. But like watching super fast, like athletes, you know, running around and like chasing each other, it'd be super high scoring, very fun. I think it would cut down big time on like concussions and stuff because like it's all open field tackles. Maybe it would be too tough because like playing defense would be literally impossible.
Yeah.
But maybe it would be 6-on-7, offense on defense.
Whoa.
I just think, like, while I was watching some of that footage, and then I've watched a few other, some other footage of six-man football, it's so exciting and fun. And I think it would cut down on a lot of the problems that 11-man football has.
But if it's faster, doesn't that add to the problems?
But faster, but they're not running right at each other. So it would be faster in the way that, like,
you
rugby.
You kind of trip up each other. Oh, so kind of like rugby.
Yeah, so it's like there's an element of rugby to it, although obviously, like, rugby has more than six. It's not, like, 6-on-6 and stuff. But, like, there's a lot of, like, running after people as opposed to, like, running straight into people.
Sure.
So I think it would be I think I'm fully on this train, and I know it's never going, it either will never happen or won't happen for decades and decades. Maybe before the NFL is, you know, bankrupt before they change it. But
what happens to the quarterback?
Well, there's still a quarterback.
I know that there's still a quarterback, but there's fewer guys to.
So you got to make, so the defense has to make a decision. It's just like it's a lot like schoolyard football where you don't really have an offensive line and a defensive line. There's like two or three.
Oh.
There's like two or three offensive linemen, or depending on how many defensive linemen set up to blitz the quarterback.
Yeah, so you're cutting out like five people.
Yeah, and if you blitz the quarterback, I mean, you just shotgun snap the ball, and if you blitz the quarterback with a lot of guys, then there's going to be a receiver up there.
Yeah.
It's just basically there's no more like power football. Basically, you're not slamming into each other as hard as you can. You're more trying to like outmaneuver them,
right,
in a very fast paced game.
Yeah, because honestly, that still keeps fantasy alive.
Yeah, all the skill positions are still there.
Yeah,
there's less of them because it's six. So you would have like probably a quarterback, two receivers, and then three linemen. I think that's what I saw mostly.
Okay.
Or like a quarterback, a running back, two receivers, and two linemen. Is that right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? Yeah.
There's two linemen. Yeah.
Or maybe
yeah,
a receiver, running back, three linemen, whatever it is. But
fun.
Like, see, that would be very fun. And then you'd have like mobile quarterbacks. Like,
right.
Michael Vick would have dominated that situation.
But so many quarterbacks now are mobile. And are smaller and shifty and slippery.
Yeah.
That are not doing as well in the NFL, but will absolutely succeed.
Yeah. So
in
this
six-man.
To me,
in your NFL.
In my perfect NFL, I think a sixth man, or even maybe a seventh man. Hey, I don't know. A sixth man is just an arbitrary number that the Montana high school came up with, or whatever.
I like it. I like that number.
Whatever. I mean, it's played outside of Montana too, but it's mostly for like small high schools who can't field a full team. But to me, I think that would be more. Basically, my idea is that's a better sport than 11 man football.
I think so too. I'm gonna give this one. I gave the last one. I don't know if I give it a thumbs down. I don't want to give it a thumbs down, but I did say
an audible is what
I gave it an
calling.
Audible. That's right. I gave it an audible.
Thumbs up, thumbs down, or audible.
I'm giving this one a thumbs up. I like that idea.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
I would totally watch that.
Yeah.
That sounds like so much fun.
It'd be so much more fun. Fantasy is untouched.
Yeah.
And I think number one, it would be more fun. Just objectively, it would be more fun than 11-man football. And I think outside of that, with zero scientific evidence, admittedly, I think it would cut down on a lot of the gruesome injuries.
It might make the game more fun watching it live.
There'd be more scoring.
Boring as hell to watch a football game live.
Yeah, and there'd be more scoring, more athletic people. Right. There'd probably be less pauses because you'd just be running up to the line, going faster you go, less people to huddle.
You have to be smaller in order to be running that much, so you're not going to be as giant. Yeah, I like this.
Yeah, six-man football. All right.
Nice.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. And the clap.
That was a high five clap. All right. My third Bort Sports idea is this. Referees and umpires should have alternate jerseys.
Why?
All the players can't be having all the fun with these alternate jerseys.
The refs don't really seem like they care about what clothing they're wearing.
Yeah, they don't care about it, but I care about it. And I'm a viewer, and I'm watching.
Okay, name an alt for a basketball ref.
A basketball ref, they should have. So right now,
black
it's basically
with white stripes.
Yeah. Well, basically, an NBA ref has that. They don't even have stripes. They just have right. They have those like gray shirts that have like black sleeves, right? So just like you know, mix it up just a little bit. They obviously have to stay in the same
neutral
color scheme,
right? They can't act like they're supporting another team.
Yeah, they can't be wearing the classic green and blue of the Minnesota Timberwolves. People think that they're on the Minnesota Timberwolves.
What if they wear Christmas colors? Because no team is Christmas colored.
Yes.
Red and green.
And that brings me to my other point with this is Halloween is today, when we're releasing this podcast, is Halloween.
Yeah.
Why not wear a little pumpkin shirt? There's no, unless the Phoenix Suns are wearing their orange shirts, orange jerseys, wear a pumpkin shirt. And the referees are out there showing off their Halloween pride with their pumpkin shirts.
Well, I would love that for baseball. That would be so great.
Or, I mean, this is,
pumpkin bellies.
This is what I would love in
with
a perfect
July
world.
Bellies?
In a perfect world, which we obviously don't live in, but a perfect world is on Halloween, NBA refs get to dress up in costumes. So you're seeing ghouls, goblins, princesses,
and princes.
The Ultimate Warrior, the princes, kings,
Elvis.
All of them.
Yeah.
Elvis. Yeah. Wouldn't you
the
love
Beatles.
To see the Beatles? Yeah. The group costumes. The refs.
Group costumes.
Now that's a photo op.
That's a photo op. That's very true.
Yeah. Remember that year during the Phoenix Suns Dallas Mavericks game when the referees dressed up as the Beatles?
Now that was a dream. That was a dream.
Man, see, that's a perfect sports world. We don't live in one yet, but sports one day at a time, we're moving us toward a perfect sports world.
I have a suggestion for baseball umpires.
Yes.
And just to give everyone a little background, when Ben and I went to, we went on our honeymoon, on our flight out there, there was a man that was wearing the Declaration of Independence Tommy Bahama shirt. And it was just the Declaration of Independence in huge, huge font. It's exactly what you're imagining right now. And what if the umpires wore that on 4th of July.
Yes, that's what I'm, that is a Tommy great
Bahamas.
Idea.
They're Tommy Bahama.
Yeah, Tommy Bahama provides a Declaration of Independence.
It could be
breathable.
Their
shirt.
Bellies can breathe.
And
it's
yeah,
beautiful.
It doesn't even, the umpires don't, it doesn't even matter what the uniform they're wearing.
The umpires should wear the hockey goalie mask just like the catchers and be able to decorate however they want.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. What this comes down to is letting the umpires and referees of American sports express themselves and live their lives.
Thank you.
Yeah. So,
what would football wouldn't allow anything except for one day in October?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, football is obviously going to be the last to ascribe to any of these great sports ideas that I have, board sports ideas.
The NFL refs will wear horizontal stripes instead of vertical stripes. So that way they all look like a bunch of fatties.
Yeah.
And the skinny ones will suggest it, and the fat ones are just like, God, give me a break. Yeah, well, like a cow.
They'll probably all be four because they all look so mini compared to big NFL players.
Give me some girth.
Yeah, and they're looking for girth. Their wives are sitting at home saying, strength. You look so tiny out there, honey.
That's why Hockley got all ripped.
Yeah, that's Ed Hockley's trying to keep up with the football players, and he can't. He's an older man.
Well, he's gone now, and but his son is
and
there.
And he's gone. And he's gone forever.
And he's gone forever.
Ed Hockley, gone forever. Too soon or just in the right amount of time? Tough to tell.
No one knows. No one cares.
All right. That's is that a thumbs up?
I'm actually going to give it a thumbs down. Oh. I don't think they should change.
No. Okay. Well, I mean, this is.
I want them to be the old maids in the background. I like that.
No. I want them. I want every single piece of sports, every square inch of every sport
to be customized,
to be maximized and customized for the players' entertainment and for the viewers' entertainment.
Right. I mean, the pumpkin on the belly idea is great.
Yeah. I mean, that's the absolute least you can do is let the referees wear a pumpkin on their belly shirt. You know, those shirts that just are jack-o'-lanterns.
Yes.
Just let them wear that.
Yeah. Okay.
For Halloween.
Okay. I'll let that one go.
It would be very funny, though, if you're watching an NBA game and it's Halloween and there's a referee like running down the court in a full pumpkin costume where it's got the stuffing and everything.
Oh, it has the stuffing?
Yes, that would be
okay,
fun.
Okay, costume day is good. I like that.
Okay, Halloween. Like that. And then if the World Series makes it to Halloween, then the umpires are allowed to dress up as whatever they want. Okay.
I'm a vampire.
Ooh, I want to call strike three. All right, that's board sports idea number three. We have one audible. One thumbs up and one thumbs down. This will be number four. We're back into the NFL space. NFL stadiums should play music during plays, like the NBA.
During plays.
After the snap, they can launch into, you know, the instrumental from California Love or something like that.
Right.
Like in,
it's a
on
very
like in the NBA.
Basketball thing to do. Yeah.
There is a precedent. In the NBA, they do it. In the NHL. They play
That's
organ
true.
Music
That's
as
true.
Well.
I think most people would be for that, except for the people that take pride in how loud their stadiums are. Also, it's with the play calling. I think that would be your
it would
biggest
be,
issue.
In this scenario, in my scenario, it would though music would start after the snap.
After the
so
snap.
Play calling would be uninterrupted, and the crowd noise would still be a factor.
So when the away team is on offense, and it's after the
yeah,
snap,
I guess it would
then
be
you
up
could
to
play
the,
like Benny Hill. You could play like some like,
yeah, Baby Elephant Walk.
Baby Elephant Walk, Benny Hill.
Yeah, or you know,
oh,
I
would absolutely love this. It would never work, but I would love this. Is there a way we could just do a broadcast with playing our selection of music?
Oh, yeah. Instead of commentators?
Instead
or
of commentators?
In addition to commentators.
Yeah, in addition to commentators, because they're often not talking while that is going on. We can add our silly music to it.
Yeah,
I think that would be pretty funny.
And I don't think it's just for when your team is on defense. I think it's also when your team is on offense, because for instance, when I was playing basketball, a pickup basketball game this past Saturday, we play at a gym every once in a while. And the people who come after us in the gym, like we rent the gym out for an hour and 15 minutes. And the people who come after us usually come like 15 minutes early and they start like putting their stuff up and they start playing music. So like with 10 minutes left to play.
That seems like they need to chill out, to be honest.
But at first you would think that'd be annoying. Yeah. But honestly, it's fantastic because they start playing that song and I'm forgetting what it's even called. But I'm playing basketball.
Oh, hold on.
And
hold on. How old are they? What is their demographic? Are they playing that song to get themselves pumped up?
I think it's a children's basketball practice.
Oh,
like
okay.
A 10-year-old's basketball practice or something
like
that.
I'm imagining more men
no.
y'all's age coming in and getting pumped up on the
something.
Space Jam soundtrack.
Yeah, it's not a bunch of 30-something men. Although our group of 30-something men did get super pumped up. We're all dancing. We're bringing, after an hour of playing basketball, we're all very tired usually and starting to slow down. And then that song, we're playing basketball, is pumping out. And everyone's dancing and moving popping threes and dribbling between their legs. And it pumps you up. So if all of a sudden, you know, Andy Dalton snaps, they snap the ball, Andy Dalton, welcome to the jungle, baby! And he drops back to pass, he's pumped up, AJ Green's flying down the sideline, and listening to Guns N' Roses, he's all pumped up. I think it would make the game better.
Yeah, you know what I imagined when you were suggesting a song for Andy Dalton?
Andy Dalton definitely does not listen to music.
No, he does not. But I thought that maybe Andy Dalton in his head was singing Wide Open Spaces by the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah, I think that's definitely in high rotation.
And it
Andy
didn't
Dalton's.
Really work for AJ Green, and it just didn't work
Wide
out. But
open. AJ, come on. It's a great song. And the Dixie Chicks are as relevant as ever right now.
But that would be interesting. I wonder if that's something that arena football can try out, because it's mostly for arenas and stuff like that. Right?
That's true.
You
I
can
guess
capture the noise.
Yeah, the music.
It doesn't
plays
have to be
better.
Too loud or whatever. It can be at the same, you know, volume throughout the game. I think that places like Seattle and Kansas City would be livid, because they take a lot of pride in their crowd noise. I think places
like
Atlanta
would
be thrilled because they got in trouble for pumping in crowd noise.
Yeah, because it's a kind of a legal way to do it.
Yes.
But like I said, I do want to clarify for everyone listening, if you're just tuning in right now,
post-snap.
I mean the music pipes in post-snap.
Right.
So crowd noise is still
something like Welcome to the Jungle, where it's just like a straight scream.
Yeah.
After the snap.
Welcome
just like
to the jungle. We got fun. 60-yard pass to AJ Green.
Oh, man.
Touchdown.
But yeah, that's another thing, too, is you only get 3 seconds of that song at best.
Yeah, exactly. It would be. There are flaws with this idea. None of these ideas are fully baked.
No.
Some of the ideas are fully baked.
We're hashing them out.
Most of them are our duty
is to hash them out.
Yeah.
Point out the flaws, point out the pros, the cons, you know, whatever.
And that's really the mission statement for this entire episode and all future episodes is we want to make sports better.
That's all we want.
Sports are great. We want to make them better.
Put that on something.
Yeah.
Put that in a tweet.
I'm going to put it in a tweet.
Put it in an email blast.
Yeah, I will email blast to everyone on our email list, which is we don't have an email list yet.
We will be developing, and it's going to start with our mission statement.
Yes.
And a photo of Hippo.
All right, so Ashley, officially, is that a thumbs up, thumbs down, or
that's
audible?
Tough, because I'm really excited about it, but I don't think it would work. So where do I have to stand with this?
It's totally up to you. Hey,
I'm giving
fully,
it a thumbs up then.
Thank you. I was about to say, I don't care if it would work or not. In my head, it works, and that's all that matters. And
I like, would personally love that they pick one song for the entire game, because that's how they're going to get through a song, since they only have to use,
yeah,
they're only allowed to use 3 seconds.
They slowly play Stairway to Heaven throughout the course of
one
game.
And
but
the lull moments,
it works
really
in my head, and that's all that matters.
Yes.
Right?
Okay.
And hopefully it works in your head and in the viewer's head and imagination.
Just think about it. You know, just think about it.
Mull it over in your brain, people.
Thank you.
So that was Bort Sports idea number 4. Number 5.
Bort Sports.
Bort Sports idea. Right? Bort Sports idea. All right. So the 5th and final one. The MLB offseason free agency starts on Friday.
Again.
Which is so close.
Yeah.
And this is an idea I've had for a while. So I might have actually mentioned this to you before, Ashley, or to anyone listening right now. But I think they should broadcast trade discussions, and all communication between GMs and players should be published immediately. Put it on the MLB network. All text messages, all of this should be public.
Make it public record.
Make it public. And just think about how fascinating that would be to listen to two GMs or read their text messages when they're discussing a trade. I mean, I don't want to mess. Obviously, it's weird, like messing with like sitting in on people's money discussions in like a free agency contract or something like that. Although we do end up seeing the contract anyway.
That's true.
So I guess I don't know if that would be, and the players aren't really involved. It's just an agent and a GM, or an agent and whoever else from the team,
sure,
representative. So. But how fascinating would that be?
I'm dying to know.
Yeah.
That was the best part about the movie Moneyball. It's the only part I can remember, actually. I can't really remember the movie, but I can remember when Brad Pitt was making deals with the GMs, and I'm just like, man, that's great.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great to watch?
It would.
And then it would be a really good, you know, policing of fans policing their own GMs.
Well, that's what I was going to say is the problem.
But that already happens. I mean, it wouldn't be more negative.
That's
it would
true.
Just be the same amount of negative and same amount of positive. I just think it would be very interesting, and also it would keep people honest in a way that hasn't been done before.
One thing that I do want to say is that the Green Bay Packers, being publicly owned, should have to do that anyways.
Oh yeah,
all their stuff should be accessible to the people that are team owners, you know,
right,
whatever.
Right.
Because
yeah.
The town owns a micro percentage of the team,
yeah.
Right?
So we should see the text messages.
So the Packers should have to do that no matter what. As far as the GMs go, I really don't. I love my GM, Brian Sabian of the Giants. I don't want to see how he talks.
it's going to ruin.
That's going to make me sad.
It's going to ruin.
Because everyone's a shithead.
But it'll also bolster some reputations, too. And it'll also make people
that
maybe
might be true.
Act like, more ethically.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, maybe, I can't think of any GMs off the top of my head right now other than like Dombrowski and Friedman, who are just in the World Series. But I don't know if I want to know how they communicate with each other, even though I do want to know what they're talking about and like who's on the table. But that's another thing too, is that they have to do it post. They have to do it post deal. You can't just be discussing a deal and then that player gets to know that they're about to be traded.
Okay, yeah. So that is a good point. And you're poking holes in my idea. And
I'm sorry,
and
that's,
no, but that's what this is here for. But
post trade, especially blockbuster trades. Well, then you might actually be talking shit about that. Because you have to talk shit about the player in order to be like, hey, he's not that good at this. It's kind of like arbitration, but not everyone should have to go through that process because it's brutal.
Yeah, but also ultimately, like, there's already, you know, scouting reports made public and stuff like that. Like, people know the strengths and weaknesses of players.
But I bet the shit that GMs talk about players in order to devalue them or like up them or whatever.
But then
is,
what this would do would they wouldn't be able to like talk false shit. They would just be able to,
yeah,
you know,
that's true.
They would be held accountable.
I think ultimately the reason why I am and I'm sorry, going to give this a thumbs down, is because there's not enough issues with player trades. There's only been recently a couple things that have come out, and they're really not bad enough, I guess, compared to everything else, to be forced to be open.
Yeah,
So I am interested, and I would love, and I do love to hear stories about how certain like massive trades went down and this and that, whatever. And I do think that there is, since we're living in the blockbuster trade era, that there soon will be a book or something or whatever, or an interview when certain GMs are retired and like all the players involved have been retired for a long time and this and that, that we get to hear about how something went down.
Yeah.
Maybe not all the way, obviously, because of the amount that of shit they have to talk and like all this lying and stuff that they have to do in order to, because they're salespeople, essentially. So maybe we'll get a little bit of it. I also kind of love not knowing what they're saying. Like, I love not knowing entirely what a pitching coach is coming up to say to the pitcher when the pitcher's getting like roughed around a little bit, where he's probably saying like, I had just had nachos right now and they were delicious. Is that fine with you? You know, whatever. Like saying something fucking wacky and yeah, like weird that is just like just to snap the guy out of it. Like their techniques and stuff. I would love to know exactly what everyone says, but I kind of love the fact that I don't know what everyone says. I don't know if it's serious or silly or what. You can't tell by anyone's reaction. I love that so much. I don't know. I love the mystery of it all.
Right. And I'll admit I forced the altruistic part of this maybe a little too hard into this because I am just kind of curious.
No, yeah.
But I think it would be, if there was some way to make some sort of like MLB Network show about, you know, two GMs getting in a room and hashing out a trade, or just even a documentary, like I'd settle for a documentary with actual
behind
the scenes footage.
We get a good 30 for 30 someday soon. I bet we do.
Yeah. If there is a trade that like really did knock the socks off of everyone, although there really is not that many.
I was just going to ask you, is there something that's like memorable to you? Because I feel like the first time I heard blockbuster trade was when the Dodgers, when Magic Johnson and that group, the Getty, is it Getty? I think so. When they first acquired the team, they made that giant trade with like Adrian Gonzalez and why am I blanking on everyone else? Like a giant trade with the Red Sox and like a couple other people involved.
Right.
That was like 2011 or 2012? 2013. Something like that. Anyways, I think that was the first time I heard the term blockbuster trade. That might have been the first one. That was a huge, huge deal. And it was a huge push. I think it was 2013 because that's when they were like, they made it to the NLCS. They didn't make it to the
NLCS.
Well,
that's why I do think it would have to be, if this documentary gets made,
right,
it would have to be released like within a year because we're already fuzzy on the details of,
I don't know, I think
such a blockbuster
trade. If it's done
trade,
well, then
I
it'd be like,
know,
it would bring back memories.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I want to see that. I want to see that documentary.
Anyway,
30 for 30 director is listening, please.
Yes.
I want to see a documentary.
Any
on that
documentary director, they're just giving 30 for 30s out to anyone these days. And I'm thinking,
and they're good, but
they're,
yes.
Yeah, so many of them are so good. But
right,
it's like Netflix stand up specials. They're going to everybody, so you got to get in while it's hot. And this is a great idea. And I just don't have the access. I need the access.
You need the access.
Yeah.
Please.
So ultimately, you're giving this a.
Ultimately, I'm giving it a thumbs down. I don't want to know in real time necessarily what they're saying, and I don't think that it's valuable to
busted
the league.
All right.
Sorry.
Hey, these are all ideas that are somewhere between half-baked and full-baked.
That's the fun.
And that's the fun.
Yeah.
We're hashing it out. I still think there is a way to do it where it would be a lot of fun and not ruin anyone's life. And that's what I want. I don't want to ruin anyone's life, but I want to have fun.
Pre-trade, you think?
I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't even know like how negative it gets or how like weird it gets. It might just be very straightforward. Yeah, I read an article once where there's where general managers use emojis a lot of sometimes, maybe not a lot of times, but sometimes
some of the cooler ones.
some of the younger, cooler GMs use emojis to like react to trade proposals or propose trades or whatever, which is stupid, but
that's dumb.
But it would be fun to see that. I want to see that.
Yeah,
text
that would make
message.
Everyone livid.
I want to see that text message. So GMs out there, if you want to let me, you know, get in there, let me and Ashley get in there with a camera, or just the two of us, I'd be happy to just kind of watch it myself and
I don't have to say anything.
Yeah,
I'll
keep it secret.
I just
kind
of want to know what the negotiation process is like.
Dick Williams is the Reds GM. He seems like a real good guy, good smart guy. Dick, just call me up. Email me sportsports@gmail.com.
Right, and it's easy to remember.
Let us in. We will not say anything. We will not say a word.
We will not say a word. We vow to not say a word.
All right, Ashley, that's 5 sports ideas.
I
want
to do more.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to wait a couple weeks because that was today and this is it. So ultimately, you gave 1 thumbs up to 1 of my ideas,
yes.
3 thumbs down.
3?
3 thumbs downs.
What? How many thumbs? Wait, which ones?
To recap, rooting against your most hated team in sports when your favorite team has nothing to do with it is 35% as fun. You gave
That's an audible. Yes.
You audibled to 42%.
Yes.
Number 2. NFL should and will slowly move towards 6-man football.
Thumbs up.
You gave that a thumbs up. 3, referees and umpires should have alternate jerseys / be able to wear Halloween costumes if they have to work on Halloween.
Yeah, thumbs down.
Yeah, see, that was
the
one that I'm most upset about. Because that, in my mind, that is such a perfect idea. Okay, number 4.
It just wouldn't work in real life.
NFL stadiums should play music during plays like the NBA.
This is the one I was closest to, but I ultimately have to give it a thumbs down.
Give it a thumbs down.
Sorry.
See, and then finally, number 5 was MLB or any sport should broadcast trade discussions and or free agent signings.
Yeah, sorry.
So that's a lot of thumbs downs, but I got 1 thumbs up.
That's
and
true.
I will stand by the Halloween costume / referee alternate jerseys and umpire alternate jerseys till the day I die.
Yes, yes.
So thanks a lot for tuning in. Ashley,
yes.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I love this. I can't wait for the next round.
Yes, I can't either. Folks, thanks for tuning in. This has been Sports Boards. Yeah!